Reopening in the U.S. looks very different depending on where you are.
Some retail will be allowed to offer a curbside pickup or in-store pickup for goods that are ordered online or by phone. But generally, it's going to be a pretty limited economic restart in New York for at least the next 2 weeks.
Almost immediately, bars opened up and people started flooding in. The order took effect right away. Now, that doesn't mean that everywhere in Wisconsin is open.
But experts fear reopening too quickly could mean a second wave.
They say it's pretty likely, if not inevitable, as you ease these restrictions that we've all been living under for so long. The simple fact is that the virus gets more chance to replicate.
It's Thursday, May 14th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Nearly 3 million U.S. workers applied for unemployment benefits last week. That's a slight decrease from the previous week, but new jobless claims still remain at record highs. As states begin to reopen, many, like Texas and Oklahoma, are seeing a drop in filings. Georgia and Florida, however, both saw an uptick. Overall, 36.5 million Americans have applied for benefits in the past 8 weeks. Strong criticism today about the administration's handling of the pandemic from a government vaccine expert who was moved out of his job last month. Rick Bright told House lawmakers that top health officials at the Health and Human Services Department failed to act aggressively to combat the virus, and the Trump administration still lacks a comprehensive national strategy.
If we fail to improve our response now based on science, I fear the pandemic will get worse and be prolonged. There will be likely a resurgence of COVID-19 this fall. It'll be greatly compounded by the challenges of seasonal influenza. Without better planning, 2020 could be the darkest winter in modern history.
Bright was transferred from HHS to the National Institutes of Health in April. He says that was retaliation for voicing his concerns about the safety of anti-malarial drugs touted by President Trump as possible treatments. HHS disputes that assertion. Trump called Bright a, quote, disgruntled employee. North Carolina Senator Richard Burr is stepping aside as chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee after federal investigators seized his cell phone as part of a stock trades investigation. Burr sits on two committees that received detailed briefings on the coronavirus outbreak at the beginning of the year. He sold shares worth as much as $1.7 million in February. The Wall Street Journal has reported that those sales saved Burr and his wife at least $250,000 in losses after the market dropped at the height of the pandemic. Burr is one of several members of Congress who sold stocks after lawmakers attended those closed-door briefings. He says he's been cooperating with investigators from the beginning. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about the complications of reopening. The global death toll due to the coronavirus has surpassed 300,000 people. And even though the curve is flattening in many places, there's still no cure or vaccine. So countries, states, and even specific regions are facing tough decisions about when and how to reopen. There's no playbook, and that's leading to a patchwork of responses across the nation. In Michigan, armed protesters gathered again at the Capitol in defiance of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's stay-at-home orders. And in neighboring Wisconsin, reopening is happening unevenly after the state Supreme Court struck down Governor Tony Evers' order to stay home. Our Midwest Bureau Chief Shandy Race has more.
The arguments have more to do with the process of how the governor implemented the shutdown order and less to do with the content of the shutdown order. The Republicans basically assert that this shutdown order should have been done through a process that gives them some input as opposed to a unilateral action on the side of the governor and his administration. And so they don't take issue so much with the actual content and, in fact, are actually suggesting that people follow the guidelines, essentially, of the shutdown order. They just don't feel that the governor's administration, particularly the health department, had the authority to make this order without the input of lawmakers.
She says that's leading to a bit of chaos.
Almost immediately, bars opened up and people started flooding in. The order took effect right away. Now, that doesn't mean that everywhere in Wisconsin is open, because some local cities or counties have their own stay-home orders. So Milwaukee, for example, is still shut down. But in places where there are no local guidelines or no local orders about what needs to be shut down, essentially it is a free-for-all at the moment.
In New York, which has been an epicenter of the virus, the state is gradually rolling back restrictions using key metrics, including a 14-day decline in net hospitalizations. Areas of upstate New York will be allowed to reopen tomorrow. Albany reporter Jimmy Vielkind explains.
It's a partial economic restart. In New York, manufacturing firms and construction businesses will be able to operate. Many were already doing work, particularly in the manufacturing sector. The state order that was signed and went into effect on March 22 only closed down non-essential firms, people making things like semiconductors or who are part of the supply chain for critical electronics were operating, and that's actually a majority of the manufacturers in upstate New York. We're still waiting to get some larger reopening of retail stores, restaurants, beauty salons, barbershops, etc. Those are not included in the first wave. Some retail will be allowed to offer a curbside pickup or in-store pickup for goods that are ordered online or by phone. But generally, it's going to be a pretty limited economic restart in New York for at least the next 2 weeks, and not every region of the state has been approved. New York City, Long Island, Hudson Valley, where coronavirus infections are more rampant, are still subject to the shutdown order. It's thought that the capital region around Albany, where I'm sitting right now, will hopefully meet the benchmarks in coming days, but that has yet to be announced. One bright spot, though, is that around the state, tennis and drive-in movie theaters will be allowed starting this weekend. Governor Cuomo and his team decided that these activities are allowable and can be done with appropriate social distancing, so expect long lines at the theaters starting on Friday.
National chains like fast food restaurants are trying to come up with their own rules while still adhering to local regulations. McDonald's has created a guide for its franchise owners. The Wall Street Journal's Heather Haddon has more.
They need to do a very deep clean of the restaurant. They need to insert decals on the restaurant about where customers should stand, where they should wait to pick up their food. They need to close off tables that are not available to customers to allow for social distancing. All their workers need to be wearing masks and gloves. And also, the company needs to make masks available for customers who want them in jurisdictions that require you wear a mask to be out in the public. So the list really goes on and on. It touches on bathrooms. It touches on the soda fountains. It really touches on every aspect of how the public interacts with a McDonald's restaurant. McDonald's is providing some financial assistance to hard-hit markets in terms of their advertising budgets. So as they're starting to reopen and regain business again, they're providing some advertising support there. But it really is up to the owners themselves to do all these things.
Several other fast food restaurants have also begun reopening cautiously.
Starbucks reopened nearly all of its stores with modified service, and that does not include dine-in service, so they are not allowing customers to sit in their stores right now. Chick-fil-A is also taking a really cautious approach with reopening, as is Wendy's. Burger King actually said this week that they are moving towards reopening, that they're outfitting their stores with plexiglass material and other equipment and supplies. They are also shutting down those soda machines for public use. I would say in general, a lot of chains are being pretty cautious about this because they just don't want an incident where a customer gets sick. Obviously, employees have gotten sick. So this can, you know, just increase the risk for them.
Among the biggest questions is whether reopening too soon or too quickly could cause more cases to pop up. The fear is a second wave that could be even worse than the first. Joining me now is reporter Jason Douglas, who has been looking into this. So, Jason, what do disease experts say about the possibility of a second wave?
They say it's pretty likely, if not inevitable, as you ease these restrictions that we've all been living under for so long. The simple fact is that the virus gets more chance to replicate and infections will almost certainly rise. So it seems very likely. The big question is just how severe that will be. And what everyone's trying to figure out is what are the best things to do to try and keep that, keep the transmission down as we do ease these lockdowns.
So what do experts say about what's needed to prevent a second wave or mitigate the impact if this is something they expect?
The big message is kind of the oldest thing we know about epidemiology and how to stop infectious diseases, which is test, trace, and isolate. So you need to do a lot of testing. You need to find out who has the virus. You need to, if you find someone who has it, then you need to track down everyone they've been in contact with. And you need to isolate a lot of people who may or may not be contagious just to make sure that the virus has no chance of spreading. Other than that, that's like the main message. A lot of things they're still trying to figure out, right? We don't know a great deal about this virus yet. It's only been around 4 or 5 months. We're learning a lot every day. So there are unanswered questions around children and how they transmit it, what role they play in transmission, around things like face masks and so on. But the one thing we do know is that if you wash your hands a lot and try and stay away from people as best you can, then the chances of transmission are lower.
In the meantime, as you mentioned, this is leaving a lot of governments and policymakers with a lot of questions and tough judgment calls to make on whether or not to reopen, and if so, how to do that. What's the guidance there?
It's really not clear, and you'll notice that lots of states in the US and different countries in Europe are kind of taking things at a slow and cautious pace and are sometimes doing things in a different order, so kind of similar to the way that we all went into lockdown. So you'll find that some places are reopening businesses, some places are keeping them closed, some places are reopening schools, in other places schools are still shut. There's a slight trial and error approach to all this. The main piece of advice from the science community and from disease experts is that you should do all this very slowly and cautiously, just in case you do start to see a pickup in transmission, and then you may have to tighten things up again. That's certainly happened in some Asian economies that have sort of been through the peak and past it as we're now approaching.
Are we seeing any signals in places that have already eased lockdowns that can potentially serve as a guide here on how to do it correctly?
So Asian economies that have had a lot of experience of respiratory illnesses like these, so China's a big one, Singapore, Hong Kong, South Korea, these are all places that a lot of people are looking to see how to manage the next stage of the pandemic. South Korea, for example, is a very active test, trace, and isolate program. They've been doing that right from the beginning, so much so that they didn't have to lock down their economy as severely as we've had to in the West. I think China is, although it's come under a lot of stick from the president and others, it does appear to be doing a pretty good job of keeping the numbers down and keeping the virus suppressed. There was a bit of an uptick in cases recently in Wuhan, where the original center of the virus, but that appears to be under control. So yes, I mean, those kind of places where you're doing a lot of testing, a lot of tracing, a lot of quarantining of infected individuals, that's the kind of thing you want to emulate.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jason Douglas. Jason, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, if you're working from home, your cat or dog may have made an appearance on your business calls recently. But what about a rooster? Farm animals are making their voices heard on customer support calls from the U.S. being answered in the Philippines and India. The employees there are having to work at home, too, and often on the outskirts of urban areas. Mooing cows, snorting pigs, but mainly crowing roosters have been chiming in. Employees say that can be maddening, but can also offer some comic relief. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.